Good morning, my wonderful cult. Oh, I meant followers. Today I'm going to be giving you a lesson in the classic storytelling format, the three-act structure. You'll not only learn about the specific kind of structure itself and some examples to help you understand them, but also something extremely valuable which can really help to boost the effectiveness of your stories. So let's just jump straight in. So the three-act structure is really simple, you know, really, really basic stuff. Every single story has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. You know, babies learn that. Still, it's not just any beginning, middle, or end that's going to help captivate your audience. Each single section and each single act must fulfill a certain amount of criteria before it can be deemed as a real story. And in order to maximize some of the top tips that I'll give you a bit later on, you really need to understand these fundamental structures. So we're going to jump into the beginning. Sometimes the beginning is the hardest part to get down on paper, because if I'm honest, many people make a mistake of actually not having a complete beginning. And I don't mean that they don't start their story or anything like that. They just don't fulfill the certain areas that I mentioned. In fact, they leave out most of the time something very crucial. And actually, even when I'm writing scripts for clients or when I'm editing them, they always strip out the bits that really help to describe the beginning. And what that means is that they clearly don't understand the value of the beginning. And the beginning is so important because it lays that foundation for the story itself. And in order to help us break down these sections, we've looked at some content and analysed kind of what other authors of novels and things like that do, so that we can really get an understanding of how we can improve our skills. So in the beginning, they're most likely going to set the scene in terms of the way things are. So any places, any times, or the way things are traditionally done. They're going to introduce characters, or in fact, the main character. And what they'll do then is they'll then establish kind of what that character wants and what that character needs. If they didn't establish the way things are, you're not going to be able to see the way things change. So now for the part everyone misses, you know, what the character wants and what the character needs are two very different things. If characters don't want anything, nothing will kind of pull them to the end of the story. You know, the moment they face an obstacle or the moment something happens, they just don't care because they don't actually even want it. And what a need is what your character needs in order to make it to the end. Need is what drives the theme. But bear in mind, you may actually give a hint of what they need, but not necessarily the actual answer just yet. You know, your customer doesn't want your product, they need your product in order to get what they want. So for example, I want to have more time. I don't want a system that I have to pay for. I, however, need the system to enable me to get more time. You know, and that's kind of the fundamental basics of it. And if you're trying to convince your customer this is what they want, your product or service is what they want, then you're wasting valuable resources. You should be really focusing on how to focus on the need. What do they need your product? So when you're writing a story, tell them the way things are now. Tell them that you understand that what they want is X, so more time, more revenue, more food, and then begin to lay the foundations that will then show them what they need in order to achieve the X. Now begins the middle of the three acts. And the middle is an area that I screw up a lot as well, and it's a very common thing to screw up. A lot of people don't even put middles in there. They just jump straight from beginning to end. And I don't blame them. Sometimes you're trying to keep a script short, but actually the middle is pretty much the most important part. And when we look at it from a novel or a book perspective during the middle, they're trying to develop a plan to get what they want. They execute it, it doesn't work. And so they rinse and repeat different methods to try and reach that result. So just like in Harry Potter, Harry tries to defeat Voldemort many a time. That's point one. He's developed a plan, but every single time it doesn't work. He just keeps coming back. Point two. And it's not until they come over what they need, the Horcruxes in the last couple of books, bear in mind it doesn't come in till that point, then they're able to defeat Voldemort. So clearly there you can see that the middle is pretty much them three things. And you have to at least run through that process at least once for anyone to feel like a story is actually being told. The middle kind of illustrates what happens when the characters really try to get what they want, but without having what they actually need. And here's a very good example of that in a real life scenario. So let's just say, for example, Emma wants to have a central location where members in the team can track our projects and collaborate better. And what she does is she goes on Excel and creates a number of incredible spreadsheets. But the problem is, only one person can edit at a time, and it's taken bloody days just to build one pane. So then she begins to try a load of different techniques, blah, 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 blah. And to speed things up, it fails every single time. If only they had a CRM system, or if someone gave them a referral for a CRM system, and that kind of thing. So without that strong middle, people don't actually believe that there's a theme tying the whole story together. So make sure that when you're writing a story, you include a middle. Don't just jump straight to the end like a lot of people do. The middle is kind of where people learn about the real extent and scope of the problem. You know, it seems small at the beginning, but as you learn more about it, you realize it's not so simple and it becomes increasingly complicated. And the more characters try to get what they want, the more insurmountable the problem is. So bear in mind that when you're actually writing a story or anything like that, make sure during the middle that you're making it seem like the person or the character or the individual or the narrative is trying their absolute hardest. They're pouring their blood, sweat and tears into this to try and achieve what they want, but it's still not working. And if they believe that this person is trying all methods under the sun and it's not working, what could possibly solve that problem? You know, well, it's what they need. And that brings me into Act 3, which is the ending. A strong ending can only be made by a strong beginning and a strong middle. And this doesn't apply for Game of Thrones. That's just really bad storytelling. And that's my personal opinion as a massive Game of Thrones fan. But let's not talk about that anymore before I feel the presence of angry people creeping up on me. So when we analyse the end of a fiction, you know, what points are normally covered? Well, the problem's grown to the point where another misstep can actually lead to a complete failure, or maybe the character could die. The characters overcome the barriers that kept them from understanding what they need. The characters now understand those needs, which allows them to solve the problem and get what they want. And then a new world is created because the change has occurred. And actually, this is the part that I see most people getting right in business. They really can help people to visualize what has happened now they've got the product or service, you know, through testimonials or case studies, whatever it may be. And they're basically explaining the benefits of how the world has changed. And as I say, most people are good at that. So I won't dive into the ending too much, but there's a couple of things that I want you to think about which will help to tell the ending. First of all, think about what could be the worst possible result if the problem isn't solved. A good way to think about this is a product going end of life, SQL or Windows, whatever it may be. If a product is going end of life and is not resolved, that means there's no support in the business, there's huge security risks in the business, and many more things. And that's not even going to the full detail of what could potentially happen. And during the end, it's kind of creating this ticking time bomb in some respects. So by establishing that kind of dread of complete and absolute failure, it kind of helps to build up the feelings and emotions connected with the story. And secondly, it's really important to speak about the contrast between the end and the beginning. What was it like now everything's been resolved, or everything's been changed? What improvements, what statistics, what things can you show? And obviously, though, you know, when you're writing a story, there are some huge caveats. Sometimes the person or the character, you know, they learn that what they want isn't actually important, and so they throw that away and decide to go for what they need, you know, a typical rom-com or something like that. Or sometimes, you know, the character doesn't solve the problem and therefore everyone dies, and therefore it's more of a tragedy type story. However, for businesses, you don't necessarily need to put these crazy plot lines in there. The thing is if you're able to just fulfill these criteria in the beginning, middle and end, you're going to be having a much higher advantage over some of your competitors that aren't using this formula. And last but not least is the final element that I spoke about before, which can really help to boost the effectiveness of stories. And that is using suspense. And suspense is very much the opposite of predictability. But I don't mean
surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise is something that happens leading up to an event, while surprise is something you get after it happens. And when you're watching something or reading something, you have a superior position in that you know more. You know more than the characters in the show. And Alfred Hitchcock, who made films like Psycho and The Birds, he described it in this way. There is a distinct difference between suspense and surprise. And yet many pictures continually confuse the two. I'll explain what I mean. We are now having a very innocent little chat. Let's suppose that there is a bomb beneath this table between us. Nothing happens, and then all of a sudden, there is an explosion. The public are surprised, but prior to this surprise, it has seen an absolute ordinary scene of no special consequence. Now, let us look at a suspense-built situation instead. The bomb is underneath the table and the public know it, probably because they've seen someone put it there. The public is aware the bomb is going to explode at 1 o'clock and there is a clock in the decor. And the public can see that it's 12:45 through the clock, which is in the background. In these conditions, the same innocuous conversations become much more fascinating because the public is participating in the scene. They're actually engaging with it. They're like, you shouldn't be really be having that conversation right now, mate. These are trivial. There's a bomb about to explode in like 15 minutes below you. So by using suspense, you can really get the people who are watching or reading or doing something to really connect and engage with you in an authentic way. And you must really be able to start to get people to connect with your characters and think, no, we have to use those products, otherwise something might happen. Or I will be able to gain this if I'm able to use what I need. As Hitchcock said, sometimes when you're writing a story, it can always be a visual cue. You know, if you're writing a script for a video or an animation or something like that, it can always be a visual cue as well. And when you get really good at being able to write stories, you can completely mix the structure between acts 1 and 3. You can mix them around. You can throw in a couple of different ones like expectation and learning and all these other ones. But really, the fundamental fact is that if you're running a business, just being able to demonstrate these 3 acts will give you a head height advantage. You know, remember the beginning, remember the middle, and remember the end. Thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to speaking with you guys on Monday, where I'll be running through the inspiration life of my Chinese brother Jack Ma, the co-founder of Alibaba. So thank you very much and have a great weekend. Take care.